I'm up for my sixth nomination. Wait, no. I'm up for my sixth Golden Globe. Category is shit show.
LGBTQ rights, I'm profiting.
Oh. Hi, gay.
Hi, gay. I'm Tyler.
I'm Dravis.
And this is Privileged Twinks.
Yeah, it's a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Let the record reflect, all of the proceeds from those shirts are going toward GLAAD. But
that's
that self-promo for Meredith Marks.
Yeah.
Jewelry.
Jewelry.
Unsettling a little bit.
A little bit vibes.
It's giving Pride Month, changing the logo, but doing nothing.
Did they change the logo?
No, but when people do change their logo.
They
are giving things, don't get me wrong. GLAAD is a great program, but that's all I could think about.
Okay.
Was it, this seemed like the episode where Lisa got to promote her Vita, and Meredith got to promote that she has jewelry.
Yeah.
So.
It was a weird, okay, we'll talk more about that when we get into it. The whole thing was kind of strange, but I have thoughts and opinions.
Well, we could start by talking about your opinions of the finale as a whole, and then we can start recapping.
It felt like not a finale. It was very confusing. Like, not confusing. It just didn't feel like the end of the season.
Also, the very end was
there wasn't, like,
was
a climax.
Too.
Yes, right. It was very strange. I was like, is this... It felt like nothing happened, really. I don't know. I feel like maybe they should have ended it in Vail.
You mean in Zion?
Zion, yes. Vail would have been a little early.
Well, right. I was like, oh, really?
Or maybe that could have come out. I don't know. It just was like, this is kind of not pointless, but also it felt like a mid-season episode, not like the end of the season.
Well, it seemed, I feel like normally in the finale, they either wrap it up in a perfect little bow and everybody's really happy, or everybody's mad at each other.
It's fine, but it just felt like it doesn't have to be like the ultimate climax of the season.
Because the reunions are coming.
But I feel like typically, like, production's like, okay, this is, like, the wrap of the show. We need to talk about the main thing, like, what's been going on, something. It was, like, it was a party. People were, like, I mean, I guess it was relevant. But then at the same time, nothing really happened. The fights were weird. It was just strange.
I mean, Whitney tried to get closure with Mary, and that went nowhere.
Right. Thanks to Jenny.
But I think Jen and Meredith kind of, I mean, at least Meredith's like, no, I'm not your friend.
Yeah, it popped off, but the same clip that they've been showing the whole year that seemed like it was going to be
the final,
was
clip,
the final,
basically.
Right? Yeah. Sound off. I don't know. It just felt unsatisfying in some ways.
It also was just like not much happened. I mean, they spent a long time with Heather's memorial, which is fine, but it kind of felt redundant eventually.
Right.
And
well,
then,
again, it felt like something we should have seen earlier.
Right. And then the editing was just a little, the 80s editing was weird. I thought they would do that, like, for a transition.
And they kept doing it.
And they kept doing it, like, the whole rest of the episode.
I didn't mind, but I guess it did make it feel a little strange.
It wasn't a bad episode of TV, I wouldn't say. I mean, we got...
No, it just felt like a mid-season, not...
Yeah.
Even if it's ending on a bad, like, fight note or whatever, which it did. I just mean, like, overall, the episode was like, what was that?
But you can't, I mean, you can't
predict.
It felt
like the start of something, not the end. I know.
They have a filming schedule. Lisa definitely, I'm sure, wrote in her contract she wants to have a Vita party to promote that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they can't help it. That's the last day, that's the day they wrap.
I know. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault particularly. It was just weird. And
I mean, I think what I was kind of hoping for was that the stuff that Lisa said behind the door would come up today, maybe. But it seems like that's what the entire finale is going to be about, basically.
The reunion.
I mean, the reunion. Why do I keep calling it the finale?
I don't know. I mean, technically it is.
I'm a little, it's President's Day and I'm a little hungover. And a little brain fuzzy.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about... We talked about last week, but I don't know if everybody listened because last week wasn't a regular episode. But basically, Jen... basically, 11 people were named in Jen's case.
Mm-hmm.
And 10... All other of them, 10 of them, have pled guilty. Except Jen.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good for Jin.
Right.
She's so, like, I don't know if blissfully unaware or, like, ignorant is the right term, but she just doesn't, it feels like she doesn't really care. Like, she's just like, oh, it's happening to me, but it won't actually happen. Like, she's oblivious to it.
I don't know. I think maybe she flip-flops, because sometimes she does care a lot. She's very emotional about it. And I think it's, it might be, like, a little bit of stick your head in this, like, I've paid people to handle this for me, and I'm just gonna, like, avoid the stress of thinking about it, because it would be very crushing to consider.
That makes sense. But at the same time, even, like, in the Talking Head interview today, when she was like, oh, yeah, that's what keeps me up at night. But, like, the way she said it was just very blah. Mm. And then it seems like in the next time, in the reunion, Andy's going to bring up some stuff, and she doesn't even know about what all she could be facing.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a number of things. We'll just have to wait and
see. If I was facing 50 years in jail, and my trial date is in, like, 2 months as of the time of filming, and I didn't even know that I could be going to jail for 50 years, that's wild.
Yeah, like I said, I think she's just sticking her head in the sand a little bit.
Yeah.
But then also, that might just have been a soundbite from a bigger conversation, so.
Yeah. Well, do we have anything going on in our lives we want to talk about? I feel like every time I say this, we're like, same old, same old.
Same old, same old beach.
Yeah, nothing's really on the horizon, really. We had a big weekend the last 2 weekends. Our friend was in town last night, and so that's why last week's episode came a little bit later, and that's why today is how I'm feeling. But we're going to power through. It's going to be good.
We go, girl. Be good.
Let's see. So we start off the episode with Lisa and John, like, planning the Vita party. Lisa says, I love it, 16 times, which is a funny little edit.
Yeah, I guess the camera crew was that day was like, we gotta count them.
Well, I mean, it was very reminiscent of the lawyer thing. Mm-hmm. I'm literally quaking.
Yes.
Mary and Robert Jr. are playing mini golf. Also, there was this thing that came out that I saw today that I didn't even think we discussed, that Mary and Robert Jr. were both charged with, like, having a minor at their house, like, because he had his girlfriend living with them. But then apparently today the charges were dropped against Robert Jr. And then Mary has a trial date in May, even hear any of this.
Oh my God.
So I don't know what that, I mean, not enough really has been coming out about it that I really know. But I thought it was interesting. They're using the exact same lawyer that Jen uses on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
because they had, like, a picture of him, and they're like, if this guy looks familiar, that's because it's Jen's lawyer, too. What is it? Unlawfully...
Sorry, I got distracted by
harboring something. Okay, go to the one that actually we're talking about. Travis is reading something about how Mary Cosby blocked Heather on Instagram. Okay. Unlawfully providing shelter to a runaway, contributing to delinquency of minor. So I guess Robert Jr.'s girlfriend allegedly ran away and lived with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it said that they dropped the charges because, like, the witness something about the witness not being credible or something like that. So it sounds like maybe there's no witnesses to it. So they probably both are just getting it all dropped.
Yeah. Part of this article, too, is mostly talks about Jen Shaw.
Oh, really?
The
title. Like, the one that actually matters, I guess?
Legally, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, speaking of Jen, we see her packing up her house. She says she's going to move into a 4,500-square-foot house instead of a 9,000-square-foot house. Is that what? How big would you say, like, my mom's house is, or your mom's house?
My parents, I think, is, like, 2,400-square-foot. I mean, it's...
So it's going to be big.
It's like double that size. Yours has the basement, too, so that's, like...
A little more.
I would say.
But still, that's crazy. That's still a big house.
Yeah.
And basically, the movers are saying... First of all, Jen is kind of like, I want to bring this, 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 and didn't say anything she wasn't going to not take.
Right.
And then they said it would cost like $8,000 to $10,000 to move it. And she's basically like, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
And this is when she says that she's scared that after the trial, which is in March, she said March 7th, but I think it got pushed back to March 22nd. Mm-hmm. But she said, this could be like the last time I have my family is this year. And that's why she can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Which is a scary thought to have, for sure.
Yes.
But it still seems like she's just a little oblivious to it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She must believe she's innocent. Well, or she is innocent. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Either she is innocent and believes it, or she's not and she still believes it. I don't know.
Yeah. It just seemed... I guess when she's talking about it in this part, the fact that she's even being like, it could be this, makes me feel like she knows there's a little more to it.
Right.
But maybe I'm just overthinking it. So this is when Heather is having the memorial for her dad. Very sad scene, really. Mm-hmm. Basically, she said he died in the middle of the pandemic, and so they couldn't have a funeral, like no family could come together. So she wanted to have the celebration of life, and she invited, like, everybody who would care about him, the dad, to it. And basically all of her brothers and sisters, except for one, and her mom didn't show up to this.
Two of her brothers were there.
Two of her brothers were there.
Yeah.
But everybody except them.
Yeah.
And they have a big family.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what she said is before is probably likely that they did something and she wasn't invited. Anyways. Yeah. So they might not have felt the need.
It's just sad.
Because they already did something.
For whatever reasons, political, religious, like, even if they thought she was talking too much about it on the TV show, like, it's just kind of crazy that the mom wouldn't go. Or I don't know, it's like you're having a memorial for him. It's not about Heather.
Yeah, but they weren't speaking. I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, they weren't speaking when he died. And her and the rest of the family is not getting along because of their... I mean, I don't agree that you should... Like, I think it's reasonable if somebody in your family behaves poorly, like, in a sense of wrong... Like, if somebody in your family steals something from somebody else in the family, or they, like, do something harmful, you know, okay, well, maybe they don't get invited, or, like, you just distance yourself from them, maybe, but just because somebody has a different... political or religious belief is a little, to me, that's a little much to say, okay, well, we're not gonna, but I mean, if they view it as being harmful, I don't know, but well, I don't, maybe they do. I don't agree with it.
It seems like they view Heather being on the show and talking about it as harmful to their family.
Yeah. Being public about being ex-Mormon.
Yeah. It's just wild. I don't know. It's wild. I can't imagine. It's not about Heather in this moment. It's about you celebrating his life, and he was your husband or your dad, and you're just not going to go. That seems crazy.
Yeah. I just think it's very weak.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. Well, and later we find out that the mom did show up and then kind of chickened out.
Or what Heather said, she was trying to give herself a moment. She kind of...
Like, make her...
Made it about herself a little. Like, I came, but I can't... I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing is really sad, and I don't think... Like you said, at the end of the day, that was her... That's her father. That's your family, especially your nuclear family. It's not like your uncle didn't show up.
Exactly.
You know, it's weird that they wouldn't want to participate. It's weird if they didn't invite her to the soap, because at the end of the day, that was her dad.
Yeah. It's also, she said, it seems like a sad situation with his death too, because she didn't talk to him from Christmas till April and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty long time.
Yeah, and I was really confused about the other person, the other sister that she met up with when they were on that veil trip, not, like, siding with... I mean, I don't know if that's her opinion or if that's what the girl actually did, her sister did.
I think that maybe the sister knew, like, that it would hurt her mom to go, so she'd rather just not go to keep good terms with her mom.
Yeah.
Or as good of terms as she can.
Gotcha.
With it, I guess. But also, I wonder if her... If the sister being on the show is now going to, like, that's technically speaking publicly about it.
I don't know. It's a dumb thing to put your family through.
Yeah.
Not on Heather's part. I mean, on, like, I get that maybe you don't like it, but you're ultimately a person's religious beliefs are their own. Like, just as long as it's not hurting it. Heather's not hurting anybody.
Right. Well, you know, in their mind, she is, I guess.
Right. But really, she's not physically harming anybody.
Yeah.
So, mind your business. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It seems like she's still having a lot of, I wouldn't say regret, but just the fact that she's, like, she just loved her dad and she wanted to make him proud. And she's basically saying, like, I might have changed everything I did if I knew it was going to make him proud. Which is saying a lot.
Right. It kind of sounds like it's reminiscent of people being closeted because they're afraid to disappoint their family.
Exactly, yeah. So then her brother got up and spoke, and basically they were just kind of saying that they have to all be in this together because they're kind of like the misfits of the community.
Mm.
And then they sang that song that was her dad's favorite song. And this is where I was saying it kind of got redundant because they went and had the picnic and then they all said like the exact same thing that they had said up at the top.
Oh, right.
Where they all have to be there for each other and blah, blah, blah. But I think this is when I didn't kind of, I guess I didn't realize how much Heather talking about it on the show ostracized her from her family, because it sounds like the family even has like a relationship with all the other ones that have left the church, just not Heather.
Right.
That's a lot of people to be, like, that's very sad.
Yeah.
For your whole family. I didn't realize it was so much like they just weren't talking to her and stuff like that. Like, she was like, it would have been great to see Mom. Made me think, like, how long has it been?
Been to cheat, yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that at the end of the day, you know, you can't choose your family. That doesn't mean you have to. I think you should stick to your convictions. And if they can't get on board with it, and you know what I mean? I'm not expressing myself very well. Heather's not harming anybody. At the end of the day. You can make an argument that spiritually she's being disingenuous to people's journeys or some BS that you want to come up with. That's fine. But she's not harming anybody. And, you know, if that's something like that you can't wrap your brain around or like get over and you're just going to throw your relationship with your child away over that, you're a garbage human. Like that's garbage human behavior. And maybe you don't, like Heather's probably bitter. I mean, she might not feel that way, but like, I don't know. I was like, if that's how you're going to treat me, then I don't need you. I don't need you.
Yeah, but it's easier to say that and feel like you can just leave your mom in that way. You know what I mean? It's easier to say that than to like not, like she has, I'm sure, feelings about, like she misses her mom and it's sad. Mm-hmm. Either way, even if it is for the better or whatever. Mm. Okay, well now we get to
that's why it's sad, difficult topic.
Yeah. Now we get to Meredith's jewelry shoot, and she wants to know that her jewelry is for everybody, including men.
Mm-hmm.
And then that she's partnered with GLAAD to raise money for them. I think it's the suits and the shirts are what the money goes toward GLAAD, all the proceeds.
Oh.
Because I saw it on her Instagram, and everything that was, like, tagged, the shopping tag, were those things. And she said in the caption, every purchase, 100% goes to GLAAD for those.
Right.
And then, did you ever do anything like GLAAD or anything when you came out?
No.
I didn't either, but
I don't even know what they, I mean, this may be bad. I don't know what they do, really.
I think it's,
like, I know who,
it's for, like, resources for LGBT youth, basically.
Oh, okay.
I was actually gonna go to a couple, like, meetings with them and stuff, and I just didn't.
Mm.
Wasn't really necessary for my journey, I don't think, but
I mean, I just wasn't. I wasn't dealing with that stuff when I was a teen.
That's so true, yeah. So she's like saying that there's no reason for anyone to feel like they can't be who they are. And then it cut to Brooks, which I thought was kind of shady editing a little bit.
Is it shady or accurate?
I mean, I know. And then Chloe and Brooks. Chloe's her brother, her sister, his sister, Jesus. And he's like hugging her kind of in this pose. And she's like, this is sexual. And he's like, we don't have to be siblings in the photo. You laughed, but I thought it was kind of creepy.
I thought it was funny.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little weird, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, the way they were standing wasn't sexual. It's like a man, your brother putting his arm on your shoulder is sexual.
What's it was wrong like with you? Around from the back.
The clavicle? Yeah. Sorry, your bones are pleasurable to you. Like, what's that about? It's weird. Somebody's repressed.
Bones.
Bones, bitch. Clavicles. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I liked the makeup I think that she had on.
That was one of the situations was it's only weird if you make it weird. And she and made she it weird. Weird.
So she made it weird. Made it even weirder. Weirder. Being funny. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about... I don't know. This felt very much like a... Like, I feel like... Would Meredith be doing this if her son wasn't...
Okay.
In some... part of the queer family.
No.
Right? So, but he's still not saying anything, but her, also her message was being, we're not, like, about labeling and about, if there's no labels then everybody's equal, stuff, which I don't,
yeah.
Do you agree with that? Because I don't.
Don't put LGBTQ, which are all different labels, on a shirt if you don't want labels. And I also, just mean her shirts literally said LGBTQ, which are each of those a label.
Right. And also having a way of verbally differentiating your sexual orientation is not inherently bad. It's the discrimination that
comes along with
bigoted
it.
People have towards things that are not considered traditional. And it doesn't matter if there's a label on it or not. Labeling isn't the issue is what I'm trying
to
say.
I guess in a perfect world... Then labeling, like, I guess in a vacuum, in a perfect world, nobody would have to put a label on each other because everybody just accepts everybody. But it kind of comes off as saying, like, oh, I don't see color. Like, I think everybody's equal. And it's like, well, that's not...
Well, everybody...
That's not how everyone thinks. That's yeah. how you think. That's how you want the world to be or see
right.
the world.
Right. Everybody should be equal. But there's nothing wrong with saying, like, being like, I'm gay... Is an easy... If you don't have these types of things, it's like saying every time you sit down with somebody and have a conversation, you have to explain.
Right.
Whereas if you say I'm gay, it just means I'm a man or I identify as a man and I like other men.
If
pretty
we didn't
much.
Live
or
in a heteronormative world, then we wouldn't have to have labels, but we do. So therefore...
No, I'm saying there would still be labels because it's just an easy... Not labels, but like that's just an easy way of saying, expressing generally...
Like how you identify.
What you're into.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, well... Identify as a man, and I like. You could just say I'm bisexual. I'm sapiosexual. Whatever you want to say,
yeah.
It's just easier. There's nothing wrong with. It's the perception of other people who don't like that. Bigoted people who are like, oh, this is outside of the norm of what or what is considered to be normal, and therefore, and it doesn't matter if there's a label. We could take all of the labels away. And just not even say anything about it. And that doesn't get rid of the bigotry.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what people are called in that sense. What matters is that the people who use those labels as a slur or as a way to harm people.
Yeah.
So.
It's almost like, I mean, I'm like proud to say, use the label gay. Because it's just, one of those things, it's like, it is considered a negative in society, like, it just is. Like, there's a reason you have to come out. There's a reason you're scared to come out. It's because it's not the norm, and you know that there's, like, so many negative things around it. So once you do finally come out and you, like, accept that label about yourself, then you can wear it, like, with pride mm-hmm. instead of it being a bad thing.
Right.
I think that what you're saying is correct in that I think the label is important because it makes you feel a certain sense of pride about your identity.
And the labeling has, or giving a name to something or having a definition or a verbal way of distinguishing something is not the issue. It doesn't yeah. cause the problem. It's just hateful people. And that's the problem. It has nothing to do with like equality. Yeah. I mean, that does, but like the name itself doesn't cause unequality itself.
What I would guess where this is stemming from is that Brooks just doesn't want to say he's gay on camera or to his family.
1,000%.
And so Meredith is saying, like, well, Brooks is gay, but he doesn't want to label himself, so in a perfect world, there's no labels.
And he doesn't have to address it.
I mean...
Which he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't, but I think if you're going to do an LGBTQ photo shoot and you are pretty twink presenting...
There is no question that Brooks' behavior is not heteronormative. Mm-hmm. So whatever he is into is not standard, which is fine. And no, he doesn't need to, like, come out and label himself or anything like that. I just don't... The conversation is...
I think, though, if weird. I wasn't... If I wasn't out, or if I didn't want to put a label on it or whatever, I wouldn't do a gay photo shoot. Like, plain and simple.
It just seems like he's afraid, and it feels... And the whole thing feels like she's afraid.
Yeah.
For whether it's socially or for his sake, like, whatever reason. And, I mean, they did go through a little bit of trauma or hate, like, social hazing with the fact that he wasn't out on TV and was and had the whole thing with Jen, and then became obviously that's a sensitive topic then if it's not something that you've accepted and are talking about. So it's easy to attack.
It just kind of felt like this whole scene, this whole everything was a little bit of a like, we're proud of Brooks, whatever he is.
But we don't, right. But we don't want to say.
It was like the coming out without coming out kind of a thing.
Yeah, very
that. In my opinion.
Very that.
Very that, America. Mm-hmm. All right, and now we get into a very crazy scene where Whitney is wearing lingerie at the table.
Oh, God. This is a thumbs down, boot, delete, delete, delete. Every time a housewife does this, it's not very often. It's always the same. It is too much. It is too much. Man, no. We do not need to see. I mean, you look good. I'm glad you and your man is getting it on. We don't need to see it. And it's not because I'm a prude.
I just love...
It's more like, this is not the time... Like, that's between... I don't know. It feels like...
Except and she made her storyline be that they weren't having sex in a good way. So I think this was kind of her being like, let's prove that it's
good. Go have a date night. Wear, put your boobs out in a dress. Be sexually suggestive. And then in your talking head interview, you say, y'all, sweet bangs, it's great. Loved it.
Yeah.
We don't need to see y'all romping around in some paint in your bedroom in your skivvies. I got something to say.
Okay, sorry.
People get paid a lot of money to do sex work. Pornography, whatever you want to call it. They are trained, they are talented, they know what they're doing. You do not. This is not entertainment. Put your clothes on.
Get your straight man boxers away.
get your clothes on. This is not entertainment, and I'm not out here trying to get something from this show sexually.
Please when he smacked close your ass. When he smacked your ass.
No, I can't grin so hard. Stop it, sir. Stop it. And I know I sound like a prude right now. I'm very, like, sex positive. Go do your thing. I had sex work, all that good stuff. But you are not, that is not your gig. So please have fun. Take the cameras out. I don't, delete, delete.
It's, I will say that I do see where Seth is coming from with loving Whitney's boobs because they are very
nice, yeah,
large and balloon-like. But it's weird to me that you can show everything except the nipple on camera and it's not blurred out. That's so weird. Like, she was wearing pasties and that's it, and they didn't blur it.
Right.
That's wild. Like, the whole boob is out.
Right. The nipple is the...
Eyes of the face.
Yeah. Well, the eyes of the face.
That's what Bimini said. Oh. All right. Enough of the ass smacking with paint. That looked fucking messy, too. And I thought they were going to do that thing that people were doing on TikTok where you, like, paint your whole butt and then you sit on a canvas. Mm-hmm. And then that's, like... a painting. But no, they were just throwing paint at each other.
Yeah.
It's wild. Okay, so then Lisa is getting ready for her party. She, like, asked... Wait, what's her kid's name? Jack?
Right.
What dress she should wear. And he said, whichever one covers you up the most.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one allowed to think of his mom in a sexual way. Oh. I'm just kidding. Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about that she poured champagne down her boobs and he licked them on camera.
I know, we didn't need to talk about it. It doesn't need to exist.
Okay, so then they go to her party. They're in this, like, little mini car that has the branding on it, the Vita branding on it. Mm-hmm. Also, I DM'd Vita because there's nowhere near us that we can get it. And I just asked, is there a way that we can have it shipped to us? Because we have a podcast, we'd like to talk about it. I kind of dropped that I might have a lot of TikTok followers. But no response yet, so we'll see if that comes. And then she said they're, like, debuting this crystal-adorned bottle with a snake on it, which is funny. And this is when they start the 80s editing on the sides.
Yeah.
And the weird color grading. And they all are start arriving, and they, like, seem to be having a really fun time, and it's, like, party bumping music. And then all of a sudden, it's, like, Meredith in a car silence.
Right.
Like, the dun-dun-dun of it all. And then Heather says that she thinks Lisa and Meredith's friendship feels fake, like, when she gets there. Because they do go up and, like, hug each other in this weird, like, nothing's wrong kind of a way, when clearly a lot was wrong.
Well, okay, and this is also in reflection of the previous seasons. I feel like you could say, just from watching the show, even if it's just for the purposes of work, Heather and Whitney are friends. Like, they're either real friends or they're work buddies.
Yeah.
And either way, that's they have that relationship. I don't really know that you could say, looking back, that Meredith and Lisa have ever been work buddies. They say that they've been friends for a long time, but do they act like it? I mean, I'm not trying to judge people. Like, everybody has different relationships and ideas of what a friend is, but, like, I never thought they were buddy-buddy. They didn't act like it in season one either, did they?
Not really.
Right, so it's just more like somebody, an acquaintance of your social circle you've known for a long time.
Yeah.
So I get what she's saying.
Yeah.
And certainly this season, they are not buddy-buddy.
But it is weird that, like, she shows up to her event and, like, acts like nothing's wrong.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't even, like, talk about anything today. Mm-hmm. Just Jen and Meredith talked about things.
Right.
Sort of talked.
No, right.
Okay, so there's, like, some little funny moments here. Heather, for some reason, is talking about dating which husband she would date, and she said that her and Justin might be cousins because they have the same build.
Yeah.
Which was funny. Mary said she's not drinking any of the Vita because it tastes like water. And just like Lisa, it's blah and puts a weird taste in your mouth.
Shady, shady.
But also, that's funny. Very funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
And then Heather was like, I ate something from every country they have here. I ate this and this and this and this and this. And Meredith says, I've had one slider. Like, yes. Judgmental. I thought.
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
You just thought she was wearing a slim dress and didn't want
to
eat.
No, that she was just saying, oh, no, I've only had one cider so far. It's how it came across.
But you, fat cow, have had five things.
She didn't say that. Are you projecting?
Maybe. Mary refuses to greet Jenny, even though they're, like, 5 feet away.
Oh, I'm glad she brought this up, because I am in 1,000% agreement. Let me tell you something. It is so uncomfy and awkward in a social setting. You know what? Even if we ain't vibing, we ain't friends, I will still say, if I've met you, if we've spoke, unless we're on bad... Well, okay, I guess that makes
sense. They are on bad terms.
Yeah, but then I would be trying to resolve it. I don't know. It is very strange, and it makes things worse if you don't just... Even a nod, acknowledgement.
But on the other
And I think that's what she flipped out about, is because she felt invisible.
On the other side of the coin, though, Jenny could have gone up to her.
That's true.
And she didn't. They just both had a standoff.
But don't you feel like if you're already somewhere and somebody walks in, like...
Yeah, that's true. And she greets all the other girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get ignored, like, that's... Yeah. And I agree. You should... In my book, we have to be beefing bad for me not to be like, hello.
But we're also talking about Mary, so it's not surprising.
I know, but I understand why she's upset. I'm just making this point, and I'm trying to say to everybody out there, just say hello.
If you don't
like somebody, just say hello and keep it moving. That's it.
Yeah. Mary says she's, in her interview, she's purposely ignoring her, and she wishes she could just poof and she just disappear.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds like a threat.
Jesus is coming after her.
Yeah. To make her poof. To make her die.
Yeah. Let me open this beer open. Well, she did lose her job, so... She did disappear.
So, Jesus has a way. Okay, so then Sharif is talking to Mary, and he said that he was actually happy that she invited her to the church because all the people were so nice to her and made her feel good. And Mary said that's because they were following what Mary told them to do.
Right. And
you know how good of a friend Mary's been to Jen this whole time and the last season?
Uh-huh. And also, I don't think Sharif and Jen are on the same page about the story. Because he's saying one thing and she does not say the same.
Also, later, it kind of felt like they were... When Whitney was saying that she was apologizing for calling it a cult, even Jen was like, is it not?
Right. That's what like, I'm saying. Yeah, I was like,
she was there and she thought it was.
In her talking head, she's like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
Okay, this is when...
So I don't know what Sharif's talking about, Joe.
Whitney asks Mary to go talk with her. And I get that she didn't seem that drunk, but Mary said she could smell on her breath the tequila, and you could tell Whitney was drunk already at this point.
Mm.
But, I mean, she's right. It is a literal tequila event. Yeah. You can't expect people not to smell like tequila.
I liked how she went from a conversation about forgiveness to an example of how she hasn't forgiven somebody. But
Whitney did?
No, Mary.
How so?
Well, because she's still still not over Whitney. Right, she's right. Clearly bothered. At first I was annoyed by that, but then I realized, but when she said the thing about being drunk, then I was like, oh, I agree with Mary on that. Like, nothing's going to get resolved.
Yeah.
And because if Mary's like, I'm going to have pushback, like grievances with you. You're not going to be able to address them because you're too addle-brained to get to to figure it out.
Yeah. Which is kind of what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Jenny hadn't stepped in, I don't know where that would have gone. But Whitney basically said that she's sorry for talking about the church, and Mary's like, why did you do it? And she said she didn't do anything, she didn't say anything that anybody didn't know already, and she didn't, go digging for things.
Right.
But Mary said that that's still kind of...
I mean, she did meet up with Cameron.
That's true. So, I don't know. Talked for 3 hours. That's,
and we kind of consider that digging.
That's digging.
Yeah.
But basically, somehow we get to Mary saying that she's not a mean person, and Jenny's like, excuse me?
Yeah, who...
Who
Jenny,
said she's
like,
not
wandered
mean?
Over and sat down by Jen, even though Mary's not talking to
yeah.
her. She was ready, girl. She was ready to let her have it.
But Mary said, I don't hurt people. And then Jenny said, then why did you hurt me? And then Mary said, oh, Jenny, don't get hood.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's going to say something like that and take it to a place it didn't need to be taken to.
Right.
And then Jenny's like, say it to my face, say it to my face, because she was kind of whispering a little bit. And then Mary walked away with Whitney, and then Jenny had the first of two dead into the camera looks of the evening.
Yeah.
And then Jenny gets up and follows them, and Mary just looks so smug in this moment to me.
Yeah, well, because Jenny's losing her shit.
Yeah.
And you know that ain't gonna look good.
Especially after talking about having anger issues.
Oh, yes.
This is when we get the infamous glass throwing. Jenny said that she was sorry to Whitney for, budging in, but that she had to. And then she was like, what'd you say about me? What'd you say about me? I'm not a fucking psycho. What'd you say about me? And then Mary just starts walking away, and she's like, walk away, Mary. Run away, Mary. Just walk away. And then she threw her glass on the ground. This is what they didn't show, is that the glass was, full.
Oh.
They kept showing her with the glass, and then immediately when she threw it, it was full of a full drink. That's like doing more damage than just throwing a glass and breaking it. There were camera crew kneeling down right there when she threw it right next to their feet.
Mm. Don't you feel like it, when Jen did it last season, it felt like this big buildup. Mm-hmm. Somebody was she was clearly on a rant. And I don't know. It didn't seem... Not that she should have done it. It just felt more... this felt very kind of... oh, why did she throw the glass?
It felt like this is the final episode and she hasn't had her moment.
It did, yeah. Because I was like... it wasn't like this...
And even Lisa was like, whatever.
So most of the time people were like, can't believe she didn't listen.
I'd be pissed, if that was at my event, honestly.
She was like, oh, what are you apologizing for? I don't give a shit.
I mean, she wasn't there to see it, I guess, so maybe it would have been worse, but... So then Mary leaves the party fully, and she said... She's like, I gotta run, then we got a maniac on the loose. Which is true.
Which was true.
I mean, I would leave too.
Yeah, she was doing too much.
And then I noticed that Dewey was cleaning it up a little bit, and she apologized to Lisa, and Lisa was like, why are you apologizing? I don't care. Which I thought it was funny because it was mainly like, you did it toward Mary, so who gives a fuck? Because I hate Mary.
Yeah, and Mary was right. I mean, she was like, well, and I thought that was a little dig at Meredith, too, because she was like, nobody seemed to care that it happened, so I'm wondering who my friends actually are, which would include Meredith. But then also, Mary hasn't been, aside from Meredith, Mary hasn't been friendly to anybody. So
well, also, Meredith
don't expect
wasn't
people
over
to come
there.
Run to your defense.
They didn't show Meredith like at all in this part, so she must have been somewhere else in the party.
Yeah.
Okay, then the husbands are all sitting around talking, and they're talking about how maybe they shouldn't have booked a trip to Zion, and John says something like, maybe next time we send them farther away.
Yeah.
And then we get, Lisa saying, I want all of us to get along and all be friends, and then Heather looks straight at the camera. Heather has had the most, like, memeable moments of the show, I feel like,
yeah.
of this season. When she was, like, wearing that hooded jacket and turned and looked through the doorway at Vale after the fight with Mary in the morning. I saw that all over Twitter afterward, and I guarantee you're going to start seeing gifs of her looking deadpan at the camera after this.
Yeah, it did seem very... Was it even... What have you... categorized as wishful thinking, like impossible thinking.
This is know. What I think. I think that, you know how what we were saying that a lot of times in the finale they try to kind of wrap it up in a perfect little bow.
Yeah.
I guarantee you a producer said to Lisa that she should try to kind of make amends with everybody and make it be a happy ending with everyone. And then she just was like, guys, let's just be friends.
I don't know. Okay, is it weird that somehow I feel like I've come full circle on Lisa? And I'm almost on her side now. When I started off, I was very anti-Lisa, and now I feel like...
Oh, I think Lisa had the
redemption
winner of
arc,
the season.
And then the reunion's gonna be not great for her, it looks like.
I
so.
Know. But I think even still, she won the season in terms of having the most screen time, the most plot lines, the most... And getting to end the season at her big event.
Yeah.
Probably make a lot of money off of people trying to buy Vita now.
Yeah.
I just think...
Like us.
Right, exactly. Like, literally us. I think she won the season.
Okay.
She came around.
All right.
I mean...
Wait, are we done with the recap part?
No. Okay. Do you want to talk about this at the end?
Yeah.
Who won, who didn't? Okay, so then this is when Jen asks Meredith if she's actually her friend. And Meredith is like, no, you put me through a bunch of pain and trauma, which is exaggerating, but it's true that she, if anybody Meredith wasn't going to be friends with, it would be Jen, because she doesn't act like a friend
yeah.
to her.
Yeah, it's weird that she wants to be.
But even, like, Whitney was saying that Jen was delusional in this moment, acting like she didn't do anything last season.
Yeah, also, like, isn't neutral good? Like, you're not beefing.
Yeah.
She's not out to get you. You're not out to get her. Like, that's not a bad place. Like, why do you need to push it?
Jenna's just chaotic, and she wants everyone to be on her side. And so she's like, well, everyone else be your friend except me. And she's like, yeah, you're a bitch to me, and you don't act like a friend.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, the whole thing's strange. But also, to the point earlier, I feel like, I mean, everybody deals with things in their own way, right? But people in the Housewives franchise have been through far worse than... Meredith, and her, the whole discussion about her marriage was mild.
Yeah.
Even though I know that has a real impact on, like, their real life, but other people's marriages have been under far tougher scrutiny.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with her son happened off season. Not that, I guess maybe that doesn't change anything. I don't know. It does feel like she's making a mountain out of I wouldn't call it a molehill, but, like, it's a, you know, where it's, like, the foothills. It's not Mount Everest.
There hasn't really been any other drama specifically with Meredith. The only person she's beefed with at all was with Jen, and it's because Jen started it.
But then it's also because it seems like, I keep forgetting, that things have happened that aren't on the show that they haven't talked about that Meredith's actually mad about.
Yes.
With her, but they're having to say all these. It doesn't make sense because they won't say it, so they're just saying the things that we already know. which don't really add up. So that's annoying. Like, just if you really, if it's that bad, I don't know. I'm like, if it's that bad and you can't move on, like, just deal with it. Like, yeah, talk about it, whatever. I don't know.
This is when they kind of go there, but don't go there. Mm-hmm. Meredith's like, oh, you don't want me to go there with while Sharif is here. And Jen's like, then don't, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And then Meredith walked away and said, well, first of all, Heather and Whitney walk away. And Heather says, I hate all these bitches.
Yeah.
And then Meredith says, I'll talk about who everybody dated that nobody wants to talk about. And then walks away.
Which wasn't really, I don't like. Ugh.
And then,
like,
Jen said that Meredith fucks half of New York, which is funny that it's coming out of two people's mouths.
Yeah, the Upper East Side.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Up no less. Yes. She said exclusive.
On the Upper East Side, careful, M. Jen knows you've been fucking
everybody.
Everybody.
No. I don't. The slut shaming thing is tired.
Yeah.
To say the least. But,
oh, I mean, I agree, but.
That was the story, though, from the person, the Uber she got out of, was that, yeah, he took her to another party.
You know, though, that Andy's gonna ask, what did you mean by that? And they're gonna be like, what do you think I meant by that, Andy?
Right.
And that's about it. That's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I think they would have showed it in the preview. More. All right.
I don't know why she's holding back on it, honestly. If you felt like somebody came for your marriage like that, then...
I don't know.
Why not? I don't know. It's a show. Maybe it's a little too... Maybe I'm being evil, but...
Well, I get it's a show, but also... You gotta think about what the implications are if you ruin someone's marriage. That's, like... I
yeah,
get,
but it's she's not literally, on you, but... She's saying that Jen tried to ruin her marriage, too. So...
But they were technically not together.
Tit for tat.
When that was happening.
I see.
I don't know.
Also, okay.
You just have to think of...
Hot take. If you cheat on somebody and somebody outs you, they're not ruining your marriage. You ruined your marriage.
I know, but so. It doesn't look good on you if you were the one to bring it up on TV. My opinion.
Wow. All we have a difference of opinion.
Let's talk about the little end cards that we got.
All
right. So we didn't get one for Jenny, right? It just was nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, because they said she doesn't exist anymore. Goodbye.
I was thinking maybe they would do... Since the show, Jenny has had multiple
some
racist
controversial
things come out, but no, they just didn't give her one at all.
Yeah.
That was her last little moment. Well, she's in the finale, but... Oh, I didn't realize Seth was wearing a Reagan Bush shirt.
Yeah, I wondered what that said, and now I wish I didn't.
Mm. Choices but it was on very... your LGBTQ rights day.
Yes.
If we want to go there...
Mm-hmm. Let just
Nancy, we'll talk about who...
Let all the people die
from
AIDS.
Let every gay person die from AIDS in the 80s that no one wants to talk about.
Yes.
That's that makes me mad. That's a little hypocritical. We're looking at the end screens of kind of the thing that they do where they show the cards of who is... what's been happening since the show. And Seth is wearing a Reagan Bush shirt. So that's interesting. Okay, let's go through each one of them. Meredith and Seth are more in love than ever. They recently celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. No boob cakes were involved.
That's the real travesty.
That's the travesty.
Yeah.
Jen is anxiously awaiting her trial in March of 2022. In the meantime, she tries to stay positive, relish in the good times, and avoids thinking about her old closet.
Mm.
Girl, she could sell that closet and make $2 million right there.
Yeah.
Mary is spending 2022 focusing on the joys in her life. She's spending more time with her son, her church, and her mannequins. Interesting that that's the last we'll ever see of her.
Yep.
Whitney has traded in the title of little girl for CEO. She's focused on more alone time with Justin and less robotic sex.
Okay.
Boring. Lisa has spent the last few months reflecting on her friendships. She's decided to be more upfront about her feelings when she's unmic'd in the privacy of her own home. Shady. And Heather has officially embraced being an ex-Mormon. To celebrate, she took a yacht trip to Norway.
Jealous!
No word yet if she snagged herself a Viking.
Just in case everybody doesn't know, I'm obsessed with Norway. Obsessed! I'm gonna go so bad.
a yacht trip. That's a yacht trip, though.
No, okay, fancy. She got that beauty lab money, honey.
She does.
She said, we have plumped the lips, and we are going on a boat trip.
And we plumped the size of the boats. I do think, I don't know, I like that they do these because it makes it, it's kind of funny because it makes it like, it's a documentary. But at the same time, I just, there literally nothing came about these at all that we wouldn't know.
Right. Well, when they first started doing these, social media wasn't like, social media wasn't as big. And then on top of that, interest in like, spreading information about them wasn't as big, so like you didn't know some of these things accessibly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even these are just kind of pointless. They don't say anything that we don't know, even just from the show.
Yeah,
Whitney's the CEO. We knew that from the show. Mary's spending time with family. Jen is awaiting the trial in March, which they said this episode.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make that much sense to me why they do it, but I guess it's just tradition at this point.
Yeah.
And then we kind of see each one of them doing their little thing while they're saying these, while they're doing these. And Whitney is like saying she wants to get blackout. Lisa is saying she's happy and grateful for John. And then they finish with all of them. Mm-hmm. And then Whitney is just straddling Justin in the corner. And that's like the last thing of the season.
I know.
It's just weird. Strange. They could have just put that before her card. I don't get why that was the choice to be the very last thing that we see.
I think they were like, this was a wild party. Went out on a bang. When really I was
everybody
like,
left. And then Whitney got wasted and sat on Justin's lap.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Wow. Groundbreaking. Florals in spring. Groundbreaking.
I will say the reunion does look like it's going to be really good and juicy.
Juicy and delicious.
And the next time on, we see Jen is like wearing this crazy outfit and these crazy gloves with like chandelier diamonds hanging off of them.
Yeah.
And Andy said they had to remove them because it was a like nightmare for the microphone. And Jen said, this makes the whole look. And Andy said, yeah, it's very plain without it. It looks like, well, we see that Mary is officially not coming. Andy says it seems like Meredith is threatening everyone, and everyone agrees, including Lisa. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like we get a little bit of Jen versus Whitney for some reason about things that Whitney said about her.
I think it's going to be everybody versus everybody, it feels like.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think Whitney and Heather are going to be the only two that don't beef with each other.
Yeah. It is an interesting, it's exactly how I thought the couches would be, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except maybe I thought that Meredith would be where Lisa is, but I think Lisa got the spot by Andy because she was the winner of the season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because it's going to be her versus Jen the whole time.
Right.
And then obviously Jen was the biggest part of the season in terms of what's next to come for her life. So then Andy is like asking Sharif about the money. Like, does he think that Jen did it? And then he's like, okay, let me get this straight. You're up for two charges, one that could get you 30 years and one that could get you 50 years, right? And Jen said, I don't know. And he's like, you don't know about the charges?
Right.
A little weird.
Strange it do be.
And then I guarantee you they're going to leave this for the final episode of the three. But we see Andy asking Lisa about the things she said about Meredith in that room. And Meredith obviously is not happy about it. Mm-hmm. At one point, Jen calls Lisa a bitch. And then this kind of comes back to what Twitter was saying, where Lisa didn't think that the show would put that in. The hot mic moment.
Right.
Because she's like, you guys knew what you did when you put that in there. Now it's like giving all the other girls an excuse to hate me. And then she walks away saying, I'm done. And normally when they walk away, they walk into their dressing room. And she was like in the parking lot of the studio. So.
I doubt she leaves.
I mean, I don't think she leaves the show.
Yeah. I doubt she leaves for you.
You think she'll come back after crying a little bit while she gets her makeup fixed?
Yeah.
That's what they always do. Okay, well, why don't we go through each one of them and maybe kind of rank, like, who came out on top in terms of the season?
I guess I would say it more like, because it's a little subjective. I would say maybe the frame being like, did your opinion of anybody change? Versus like, who went up, who went down, who stayed the same?
Okay. Well, we can start with Lisa because we've already been talking about it. But I do think my opinion of her really changed the most.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking back on it, and even the times when she was being blatantly obvious about the manipulation, I think she's trying to fucking start some shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you watch the show, is for the people who are the shit starters.
We just want you to be better at it.
Right, right, right. We want us to also be surprised.
Right.
A little bit.
I mean, I will say, if she did what is we suspect to her friend, Angie... Like, that was pretty bad, in my book. Like, that's, a character flaw, to some degree. But I'm on the same page as where I think she has had a redemption arc, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And she probably started off close to the bottom of the list for me, and has finished closer to the top. Although I don't think she's not my number one, but...
Who's your number one?
I think Heather's my number one favorite. Like, I always, even if it's BS... Like, it doesn't really... I always enjoy watching Heather's segments. I don't think she was the winner of this season because she really wasn't involved in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, in anything, really.
She was very Switzerland, but I still enjoy watching her, and I think she does contribute. Just maybe not as... This season wasn't the season where she was, like, in it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think my opinion of her changed at all. Like, I just like her as a person, and I like watching her on TV.
I would say that my opinion of Heather and Whitney... stayed the same.
Yeah. But I will say, like, once it got to the end, once everything kind of had its wrap up, I think that they didn't really bring that much to the table this season. In terms of
adding
to the dynamics of the group.
I mean, Whitney started shit with everybody. Not everybody, but
yeah, Mary. But she didn't finish it with anybody.
That's true.
She just kind of said things drunkenly and then took, like, backtracked.
Mm. Okay. Mary, in my opinion, went down, and
yeah,
she was maybe middle of the road for me, and then now, like, I was like, okay.
She just kind of crashed and burned a little bit. Like, it wasn't, it's like, even if she was kind of starting some shit and kind of being crazy, I would have enjoyed it more than just how she was just mean to everybody and then walked away in a lot of situations.
Yeah, and it's really hard to deal with the what I call a hypocrite, like the dynamic of being a religious leader in some capacity, but also being a flawed human, which is fine, but like, you know, you're not.
I think take away the fact that she's a religious person, she just is delusional and lies about things.
Yeah.
Like, she can't say, oh, that's because I'm such a good person and I told my congregation to do this stuff, and then immediately eye roll and not want to talk to Whitney and be a bad person. And then when she's over sitting on the couch, she's like, I've never been mean. I'm never cruel to anybody. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
Delusion. Because you literally, that's all you are on the show. Maybe you don't feel like you're doing that in real life and you're on a TV show and these women are annoying to you, but you're mean to them.
That aside,
one way or the other.
She is entertaining. But she clearly doesn't want to be there. So yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing that she's left the show.
Definitely not. She was entertaining when she showed up.
Yeah.
Or when she let herself be, like, a player.
Jen, I think...
It surprised me just how normal it got back to with Jen and how just... Somehow the fight was just about her wanting Meredith to be her friend. Like... Nothing. Like, she kind of shifted everything away from the trial and everything.
I mean, she brings the most... juice and meat to the table on the show, but she doesn't make sense, so it's hard for me to, like, I don't know, I think she's gone. She wasn't the top of my list before, but I appreciated her candor and her forthrightedness and the entertainment value she brought.
Forthrightedness.
But, you know, especially this season, it was like, that's the legal stuff's heavy.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, now you're just coming across, like, completely rational with how you're handling things. Like, you gotta be able to, you can't be on 100 all the time, and you can't not move on from things. Like,
yeah.
You can't say you're resolved and then keep hashing things. Like, let it go.
I think honestly, Meredith had the biggest fall from grace, or whatever you want to call it, in terms of.
I mean, the whole, was there a redeeming moment?
No.
Oh, the bathtub.
The bathtub was her peak.
Yeah.
She peaked in the tub.
Peaked in the tub.
She peaked in the tub, and then she peaked at the table when she was talking all the shit, and then.
Ooh, when she said, just at the door, when she said fraud, and she's like, what is she saying?
Oh, she said, who's calling who fraud? Love you, baby.
Love you, baby. Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
She had a few good moments, but like, in as terms of my perception, I was like, okay, I really thought she was going to be the winner this season, and yeah. She really tanked, in my opinion.
But. Yeah. And then obviously, Jenny was the real loser of the season. In terms of what she brought to the table, and obviously getting fired for saying racist stuff.
Yeah. I will say she didn't, there have been other housewives introduced that really didn't go anywhere, that did less than her. So, I mean, I think she tried, but ultimately.
She just didn't insert herself into any of the real drama that anyone cared about. So even when she would bring up stuff like, even this episode, when she's bringing stuff up with Mary, Whitney's trying to get away from her. Like, it's not actually of importance to anybody except in Jenny's mind, basically.
Right. And then, of course, the whole social
getting
media
fired.
Thing. Right. But the one positive she brought was her hilarious children. Yes.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about her kids in this episode, but they were cute in this one, too.
So.
No Carlin in the last episode, though, with her.
I know.
Maybe one day she'll redeem herself and Carlin will be a housewife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
Isn't something like that happening on New Jersey right now? One of the kids
Gia. Getting a talking head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of almost.
I don't know. Apparently that she's beefing with her uncle and aunt in some way, but I don't know.
Anyway.
There's some drama there. New Jersey's toxic family stuff.
Speaking of that, we ran a poll last week on Spotify and asked like which franchise we should talk about when this one's over. Obviously, I think we would still look at it from the lens of talking about any news we see about Salt Lake City kind of up top.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we want to do more of a recap style, we would have to pick a different franchise. And everybody voted for New Jersey.
Yeah.
So maybe you can, like I said, every week you can email us 502tylermurphy@gmail.com and tell us your thoughts and opinions on the show and on what we should do next. But we probably will start, once this one's over, we'll catch up on one and start recapping other franchises just as they come out and which ones we see fit to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we definitely don't want to just stop. We don't want to take a hiatus when the show stops.
Yeah, that's a long break.
Yeah. Keep the momentum going. We just hit 10,000 listens, so
thank you
guys for tuning in every week.
Who would have thought?
I know. I mean, it feels very big and accomplished. Like we accomplished something. So
yeah,
we got another
unexpectedly.
yeah, very unexpectedly. We got another email that said, just basically thank you for being in my ears every week. It was very sweet.
Oh, nice.
She said. She's on a weight loss journey, and we kind of inspire her to go on her walks every day.
Oh, that's cute.
Because she can listen to us. So.
Yes, get those steps in.
Thank you guys for listening.
If you want to.
Yeah. Girl, we got to get there next week. thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please share it with your Real Housewives of Salt Lake City friends. Leave us a review. Email us.
And we're excited to talk about the reunion.
Yes,
the reunion
for episode one of the reunions.
It's like the Super Bowl to me.
It really is. I mean,
they're great.
I'm just so excited that we are gonna see the Meredith versus Lisa stuff. Like what Meredith thinks of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The venom of the delivery against my family.
Wicked.
Okay, we were wrapping up. Let's go.
All right, well, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis. Thank you so much.
And this has been Privileged Wings.
And Privileged Wings. We're saying goodbye.
Bye.